Welcome to the Hairdryer Treatment Podcast, powered by Kevin Grogan Soccer, Soccer Coffee, and much more. We were delighted to interview Dr. James Timmons, but due to him ringing in from Spain, we did have some technical issues with the sound, but we thought the content was very good, so we wanted to stick with it. So we apologise for the few technical issues along the way. It's a really interesting interview and hope you enjoy. Delighted to have Dr. James Timmons with us today, an expert in exercise physiology. James, welcome to the show. Obviously, you have an extensive background in the game as a player, and now you've moved into a different aspect of it. Just talk us through where you grew up and how you got involved in soccer in the first place.
Hi, Kevin. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show. I was born in Dublin, Ireland, like yourself, and I grew up playing football for Mount Marion Boys. And then I was lucky enough to get the opportunity to study and play football on a soccer scholarship in UCD. So I played there for 4 years, and that's where I actually was lucky enough to get to play alongside yourself, which was a great experience for me. And we had a very successful couple of years there where I got to represent Ireland at international level for the universities team, while also qualifying for the UEFA Cup, which was a brilliant experience. After that, when I decided to continue, I was studying business at the time, and I decided to apply for a soccer scholarship to America, and I was lucky enough to get that. So I moved over to St. Louis in Missouri, and that was in 2004, and I ended up playing for a university called Lindenwood University. And amazingly, they went on to win our first national championship that year. So I ended up bringing home the national championship ring back to Dublin, which is a brilliant experience for myself.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, obviously, I'm over here in the States, heavily involved in youth soccer. And a big thing the parents look into is the kind of pathway to getting to college and playing at that level. How did you find, a big question I always come across, how did you find the balance of studying and playing at the same time? Because obviously you're in a high level school regarding soccer. You're competing to win a national championship, which you did, which is fantastic. But you're also trying to get an education. How did you balance your life?
Yeah, it was difficult. It's not an easy thing to do. I suppose by the time I got to the States, I had been used to playing in UCD. So I'd already been there for 4 years studying and playing at the same time. And luckily enough, in UCD, the way they did it was that it was always training in the evening time. And so I was able to go to lectures through the day, do my study, and then go to training at nighttime. And of course, in America, what's great about the American system is they're even more understanding than the Irish system, where they work your training sessions around your class. So school time is if you have class until 6, they have training at night time, but other times they switch the training to the morning time. So it was just the university put things in place to help you study and to play football at the same time.
And then obviously a lot of discipline on your end, the athlete's end, to make sure that you don't neglect one or the other thing along the way. Was there punishment if your grades did fall down? Was it a case of you couldn't play or you were withheld from training?
Yeah, that's very true. Actually, when I first went over to the States, there's a bit of a different system than there is in Ireland. And they, you know, in Ireland, it's not uncommon for people to skip a lecture or two, whereas in the United States, that's unheard of. So in the first 2 weeks, I'd missed a few classes, and I was called in by the athletic director, and I was told I'd be athletically suspended if I didn't start to make my grades and stop and start going to class. So that certainly, with the thought of not being allowed to play football, I made sure my grades stayed good and that I attended all classes. So that was a shock to me, but it was great.
So a bit of tough love by the college, which obviously benefited you. So obviously, just for our audience, a lot of American listeners, you know, UCD, obviously University College Dublin, a big college back home. But it's a unique situation because the team, the first team there is actually a professional team in the Professional League of Ireland. So it's a very, very high level. How would you compare that level in Ireland at the professional top end of the pyramid,
yeah,
in relation to, say,
college
soccer here in America?
UCD, we were, as you said, it was a high level, it was in the Premier League of Ireland, and we were probably in the top half of the table at the time. Overall, the standard in League of Ireland in the Premier Division would be at a higher standard than the league in America. However, having said that, the top teams in America and the top universities, whether it's a D1 school, a D2 school, or an NAIA top school, if you're lucky enough to get on one of the top teams, the standard is extremely high. And certainly in my university, I was playing with many individuals from South America and Eastern Europe, and then obviously myself being from Ireland. So, and they were between of young and old age. They weren't just 18-year-olds. It was up to people up to the age of 29 with a lot of experience. So the standard that I was playing was extremely high, and it was probably as equal as the standard was at UCD. So.
And then obviously, I presume then from a facility standpoint, from a sports science standpoint, something Americans are absolutely brilliant at, I presume the level was much higher then in relation to what you're used to in Ireland in terms of warming up, cool down.
Yeah, I had great facilities. What I found about the States was just nearly the full-time nature of the football. Like, as you know, in America, the season is very condensed since the first semester. So between the August and the end of November, you have a lot of games, a lot of training sessions. So the sports science staff are extremely important to keep people injury-free, and the athletic trainers. So, you know, we trained effectively every day, and we had athletic trainers at every session. Obviously, strength and conditioning coaches there, sports science staff. So for me, that's what really, after being involved in that type of environment, that's what tickled my interest in the sports science side of things. So it was excellent.
Yeah, you obviously moved into that kind of industry, which I wasn't surprised with, kind of growing up with you. And I suppose a very valid question is, you know, there's a lot of debate over here about the college season and the high school season. They're very condensed, as you said. There's lots of training and lots of games. Sometimes there's 2 to 3 games a week. It's a lot of wear and tear on the body. And obviously over here, a lot of the fields are turf. There's a lot of impact there. So just touching more on kind of the exercise physiology side of things, like, do you think that's productive? Or
went over to America, they have a very, very, very condensed preseason. So it's up to 3 training sessions a day. Now, you can imagine, obviously, you know yourself from playing at Manchester United, that you might do double sessions. But doing treble sessions every day for 2 weeks just is very tough on the body. And within 5 days, I was injured over there. So that really shook my body. And then it made me realize that's not the way forward. So to answer your question, I would say that, yeah, I think the season in America should be prolonged over the 2 semesters rather than just the first semester, because having more than 1 game a week or 2 to 3 is way too much for an 18 to 22-year-old to be stressing on the body.
Yeah, and I do sometimes find over here they think more is better. For me, it's about the quality of what you're doing. If you're doing a session, if you're doing recovery, if you're in the gym, if you're doing strength and conditioning, am I right in saying it's not about doing more in terms of how much time you're putting in? It's about doing quality.
My phrase would be now is that less is actually more. And what I mean, so if it's less with high quality, is better than more with low quality. And the more you do, the more fatigued you get, the less sleep you get, et cetera, et cetera. And then as time goes on, your sessions become labored and worse. Whereas if you take more rest, get the proper nutrition, recovery, including sleep, et cetera, then your sessions are of higher quality and then you learn more as a player.
So the message there is very much quality over quantity. And just touching on the sleep aspect, something people kind of neglect and don't really talk about enough, having the right amount of sleep, the right type of sleep in terms of, you know, maybe nutrition plays a part in that as well, James. And then with your student athletes, you know, obviously alcohol comes into it. And I want to touch on the negative effects of alcohol.
I think that at the moment, there's a huge emphasis on right. sports science, which is strength and conditioning. There's a huge emphasis on nutrition. But sleep is something that I'm not an expert in sleep, but I certainly would have read a lot. And sleep is the time that you get to recover. So if you put in a hard session, whether it's in the gym or on the pitch, if you get adequate amount of sleep, that is when you get your recovery in. Your adaptations occur when you're sleeping, and then the next day you can go again. So, and if just to give a few examples, like the top athletes, like guys like LeBron James and guys like Roger Federer, if you ask them how many hours they sleep a night, it would probably be 10 plus hours. Now, that might be possible for a student athlete with studies and other things going on, but you should be trying to sleep minimum 8 hours a night. Like, and that's really what you should be going at, because it's super important for recovery.
And then just touching on the alcohol aspect, because it, you know, it does play a part. I mean, we can't neglect that. I mean, people are in college. It's probably where people start experiencing alcohol. And then obviously when they leave college, whether they're going into like a professional soccer.
Don't drink. I think you need to drink at the right times. So that would suggest that, you know, drink maybe once you finish your game for the week, you know, take a rest and recovery and then go on to, you know, if you need to go on a night out. However, I would say that alcohol has a massive, massive effect on your body. It has a massive effect on your liver. And so what ends up happening when you drink, obviously it gets into your bloodstream, it gets into your liver. What ends up happening is then it affects your sleep. So you obviously have a great night when you're drinking, but it's the next day and the day after is when you're really in danger of affecting you. As well as that, you end up usually eating worse the next day and the following day, and then that all feeds into your recovery. So all these factors can negatively affect your performance, can negatively affect your physiology, so your body composition, etc. All these factors can reduce your skill levels on the pitch.
Yeah, and obviously in America, the law is you can't drink under 21, which, you know, is probably a good thing for a student athlete. So, James, you know, you've moved into this world of exercise physiology. Your company is called Age Well. It's a really interesting area. How is everything going for you? I know you did a PhD, you put a lot of time and effort in there, and you got a lot of applauded for that.
Yeah, degree, my master's in strength and conditioning, and then did my PhD. I decided then to go into this, I suppose, Age Well Fitness, because that's what my research area was in. I've since moved to Spain, where I'm based in Palma, Mallorca. And from a physical perspective, I'm working with a cardiologist from a medical exercise perspective. So we try to work with patients who have maybe high blood pressure, or they've got their blood analysis done and might have high cholesterol or problems with their heart, and that we try to have a mantra of exercise as medicine rather than giving them actual medicine, and we try to change their exercise and nutrition. Also then with the Age Well Fitness side of things, we have an online aspect of it which deals with exercise and nutrition programs for the aging population. And when I say aging, that's not necessarily over 65. From the age of 30, that's when there's physical and functional decline start, and people start to change the mentality in terms of the behavior towards exercise. They start to have different thought processes about family, life, etc. So they want to exercise and eat well, not just from an aesthetic purpose to look good on the beach, but it's also actually to be fit and healthy. So we have, with Age Well Fitness, online programming for people who can't make it into our facility. And also we cater for people outside of Spain and in Europe. We can also cater for people in America and across the world. So it's going really well. It's growing nicely. I'm very happy.
Yeah, it's a great point there. I mean, from a personal point of view, I obviously would have trained a lot when I was a player. And then when I retired, I absolutely neglected training. I ran as far away from it as possible. But now that, you know, I'm just turned 37, you know, I look at it now as more of a lifestyle thing and trying to get healthy for the future. So it's a great point there. There's a lot of people, particularly in their 30s, that, you know, have to start looking at the long-term health aspects of it. It's really, really interesting. And, you know, we've been friends for a long time, James, and you obviously know my history in the game and a few achievements and different things. And I think, you know, one thing that we probably haven't talked enough about is your success of winning a national championship. And it probably wasn't until I moved to America and understood how important college soccer and college sport is and what an amazing achievement it is to win a national championship. I know I've seen your national championship ring, and it's really impressive. So what was it like that season in terms of, you know, what point did you feel you had a chance?
Once you don't really appreciate it, it's only as years go by you actually realize the achievement it is. So I kind of feel in the same boat. As you feel. While we were winning the national championship, it was funny. You get into a team, you're on, you know, as my first year in college in America, you start to get used to your teammates. And, you know, at the start I thought, okay, these players, they're a decent team, not bad. We were winning games. But then we went on a run where we just kept winning and winning and winning. And then eventually you qualify from your conference and then you go forward to nationals. So I knew going into the nationals that we had a strong chance, but obviously you're not 100% sure about the standard across the whole of America because we were in the state of Missouri, and it was a knockout competition. So once we won the first game, I don't know, we were staying in the hotel every night and just having the same talks and the kind of, we used to have a pep talk without the management, just with the players, and you start to get belief in yourselves. And as game and game went by, I kind of felt we couldn't lose. And that's what ended up happening. We ended up going through all the games. I think we conceded one goal. So I just felt we were unbeatable. And that's what ended up happening.
Yeah, you got a bit of momentum there, which people underestimate, you know, with that momentum of winning consecutive games, 2-3 and so on, you build that confidence up and you nearly just go out and it becomes second nature to win. James, it's a really, really fascinating story. You've done really well as a player. and what you've moved into now, I think is brilliant. I think there's a massive industry there. I think it's really important that we start looking at all these different aspects of how to become healthier and how to age well. I think you're going to have massive success.
Thanks,
in it. Really appreciate you taking the time out of your business.